This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, everybody. Jason here. Welcome to part three of the conversation with Greg Zippy, who is an adjunct professor at BYU, Brigham Young University in Utah. He comes to that role after 33 years of enterprise sales at companies that you may know like Oracle and Adobe Systems, retired in 2019, and then thought, how do I help the future of sales be more effective? Especially when he came at it from trying to hire from those universities and people weren't totally prepared. And so he's given a lot to the students here. We've had two great conversations about authenticity, persuasion, which is the sales process. So many things in there. If you didn't check them out, make sure to check out part one and two. Now we're here to talk about the future of sales. Mr. Greg Zippy, welcome to part three. Are you ready for the future?
Well, I hope so. I've been doing this long enough. I hope I get to see a whole lot of the future. So,
well, it's funny because in this kind of conversation, I think really, and this sounds cliche and cheesy, but the future is now. Like, there's so much stuff that you'd think like, okay, sales has changed this way or it might change this way. But a lot of it, people aren't even embracing now, because they're still not changing, right? Like I say all the time, if you're still selling the way you did 2 years ago, you're missing some big marks. Let's start there. What do you see buyers, and again, it's humans, right? So it doesn't matter what you're selling. What do you want? What do you see buyers wanting more of in the future, but the future also being right now?
I think one of the things, there's a distinction I personally make between what the buyers think they want and what they really, really want when it gets to it. I think they feel like they want to cut salespeople out more and more and just work for marketing, and that they want to gather their own data. It goes with what we had talked about in one of our earlier conversations, that people don't trust salespeople. And so they think they can trust it more if they get it off the internet. And so they want to go that direction. Now, the interesting thing is there's some research out there that they do go quite far before they talk to a salesperson. But it's only because we're not reaching out early enough in the process. So that's the first thing, is that it feels like buyers want to self-educate a lot more. I think that's true. I don't know it's always in their best interest. And if we reach out, they're willing to still work with us if we do it in a professional way.
How much of that do you think is just the reputation of salespeople in the fact that, again, it's a somewhat dirty word. You're not sure what you're going to get. Are you going to get that, you know, used car sales mode, or, you know, I'm going to make up a term, a used SaaS sales mode, right? Where it's like this SaaS seller, but it's just selling like these old tactics. Or are you going to get an actual professional who actually wants to help you? And since you don't know what you're going to get, you might as well delay it as much as possible. So you go in armed on your side.
No, I think that's exactly what people want to do. And we are so comfortable on the internet now. Organizations are building so much content, delivering it to us across so many channels. And I think that's appropriate. And I think that is a part of the current newness of sales, if I can say it that way, right? That it's the things, you know, the information, there's a ton of information and there are a ton of different ways to consume it. And we need to figure out how that's all going to fit into this. We've got freemium models when you start talking about software, or just, you know, samples or whatever it might be, product-led marketing and selling, you know, where the product itself drives it. There are certain products that really lend themselves to that. We just need to be careful to figure out which things fit in which categories. Sales is never going away. I know I'm biased, but it's not. It's not.
When you say that, what do you mean specifically? Sales is never going away.
About sales never going away?
You said you're biased, but sales is never going away. What do you mean when you talk about sales not going away? What aspect, what part, what process, what part, especially from a buyer side?
From the buyer side, I think they may want it to go away. And so it's our responsibility to add the value. But if indeed there's no need for sales, every product out there is a commodity, and therefore we might as well just put it on the internet and sell it all on price. That just isn't true. There are too many products that aren't commodities. And particularly when you're talking in a selling to businesses mode, there are distinctions between products in almost every area. And because of that, salespeople need to be there so that they can help buyers make sure they're getting what will address what they're trying to do, instead of just going online, you know, self-diagnosing. That's one of the real dangers we have in this world, is that we're self-diagnosing and deciding. You know, there are so many memes about that, that, you know, one that I use in my class, a little cartoon, is a doctor saying, yes, according to all your symptoms, you're right. You do have this if you were a goat. You know, I mean, things like that. It's that we don't do a good job necessarily when we self-diagnose. And so while the buyer wants to go that direction, and let's be honest, yeah, I probably do as a buyer as well, because mm-hmm. I'm not just selfish, I'm a buyer. But I think then that makes it incumbent upon us as salespeople to make sure that we're valuable enough so that people will want to continue to work with us.
I mean, and if you really think about it, and I've known some people who do this, they start feeling ill. This is in their personal life, right? Physically, mentally, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And they start going online. And once you start researching an issue, a symptom, pretty much all leads to like tumors, cancer, death, right? Like there's that's the only outcome of pretty much everything if you keep searching. And then the person goes to a doctor and says, well, I looked it up here and here's what I think I have and here's what I think I need, right? Like a WebMD doctor is what I call them. And like that doesn't work, right? The doctor still has their process or it's going to be malpractice. And buyers try to do that as well because they're just trying to solve it themselves and trying to protect themselves from what they're afraid of in a salesperson. And I love what you said about, you know, reaching out to them sooner, not just letting them do their own research, but like get to the buyers sooner in the process, do more outreach, do more education so that you can kind of help them with that diagnosis. What do you think the buyers of now and or the future want less of from salespeople?
I think they want less of features, feeds, speeds, those things. They really want to talk about solutions. I see that more and more over the years I've been doing this, is if you really, again, it comes back to them. And if we stay focused on them and not focused on our products, even though, again, from their standpoint, they think, well, I just want to look at the products. And so it's more difficult and will continue to be more difficult to be able to do that with them. I'm wondering, you know, you talk about the future where things like, will people be more comfortable interacting with something that's AI driven than they will with a human? I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer, but people are going to test that over the next just few years and see what the buyers, who are they more comfortable getting their information from? And I think it's going to be a fascinating thing to watch. And I think we'll find a really good equilibrium with it. I'm one that just feels like whatever technology we get, let's figure out how to make it the good part and yeah, make it valuable. I mean, you know, there's people that were scared of the internet 30 years ago. Well,
and some people who should have been, right? Like Yellow Page salespeople, sure, right? Like there's some things that you're going to get replaced with any technology, and what does that look like? And it's interesting you bring up something, and I had never thought about that, but you know, buyers going to AI, not just having to interact, not just companies saying, we don't care, you talk to our chatbot, right? Because this is what we think you want as a buyer's journey, because we're omnichannel now, but like actually seeking that out. And again, seeking out an unbiased opinion, because you're thinking the AI is unbiased, because you know, if you talk to a salesperson, they have a commission in mind, or like you said, the president's club, or whatever it is, there's always that element of wondering where that bias comes in. With a human.
And yet we'll see where our real comfort zone ends up being, but that's a big piece of the future.
With the students that you're working with, obviously, you know, just assuming most of them are going to be younger generation, Gen Z, right? There's always that older person in the class, you know, potentially, but most of them, let's say that's there, born with technology, around technology, don't know a time pre-internet like you and I, you know, how do they embrace technology? How do you see them wanting to use it? Where do you see them potentially leaning too much on it instead of, you know, the human to human aspect that, you know, is still needed in sales?
Oh, I think that's one of the biggest obstacles when people go into sales now is that they don't like to pick up the phone. And at some point you got to talk to people. You know, the generation that I'm teaching at the university, and just as an aside, I have a wife that's 62 years old that's in law school right now. So you're never too old for education.
Right.
But the students, you know, they've grown up texting, and, you know, they'll do a whole conversation on text, and they're so fast, it's actually extremely efficient. But And I think we'll actually see text come into selling more than it has been. That's another one that's part of the future here. But when it comes down to it, like, they'll even be uncomfortable sometimes with an inbound lead following up on it on the phone. And that one is just, you know, it's like they want you to call. They filled out a form.
Yeah.
Give them a call. And they're a little bit nervous about it. And I think it's because that's not their natural mode of communication as it was for the 50 years or 60 years before that from a business standpoint. You know, when I first started, that's all there was. There wasn't even voicemail. You know, and I have a good time spending about 10 minutes talking about that part of how technology's come when I talk to my students about it. But I do think that's one from the salesperson standpoint. They've got to get comfortable with the phone or video or whatever, but that you got to be face to face with people. We're probably not going to be as much face to face like we used to be for the actual selling, but we'll do it like we're doing right now, right? Because our technology is good.
How do you address that with the students, with the picking up the phone, the video, the face-to-face, and helping them see the value in that? With this one caveat that I know from talking to enough other professors of sales programs is that the sales program is semi-biased because the people who go into sales or might take those classes are generally going to be people who like the conversations and like relationship, like building in that aspect. So there is some selection, you know, bias to those programs, depending on who you're teaching, right? Unless it's an intro that's like marketing and accounting and people who have to take it, that's a totally different thing. But what are you doing about helping them see that value they might not have ever thought was necessary?
You know, one of the things that I do is I think we use there's a phrase we use in selling that I think is misused. We talk about cold calling. And there is, you know, give me a list of people that have never heard of me and I'll call them. I think that's an extremely ineffective way to sell, and very few people should be doing it. So instead, what we do is we actually spend one class day going through all the different ways that we can build lists, where our lists of people to communicate with come from. And it goes all the way from they filled out a form on our website to someone sold us a list of names, and one is the top of the list and one is the bottom of the list. And at the bottom of the list, I don't think you ever want to call those people. You might email them. You might try and communicate with them in a different way, but you want to get some interaction first. And what I try to do is show them that most people you call are at least warm. You've used other ways, social media, email, digital advertising. We don't do a lot of print advertising anymore in the world, but you know, that somehow they've connected with your company. If they will recognize who you are when you call, either you personally or your company, that's not a cold call. You know, they've done something. And so we go through and we try and categorize and show them that these people as buyers want to communicate with you. And they're at some level, again, of that journey that they're on, gathering information. And so we talk about, as you reach out to them via phone, in this case, you know, hey, I saw you downloaded something from our website. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have any questions on it? And hopefully you can say, are you just gathering information? Are you early in your process? You know, you find out what they're doing. that's really soft. You know, mm-hmm. that's an easy call to make. And I think we need to break down that barrier, because I think much of what we're calling cold calling is indeed what I just said. But when we say cold, it's this, oh my goodness, they're just going to yell at me. And the further we can get them up this warmed up way from marketing or from our own efforts, we have to have our own efforts doing that as salespeople as well to warm it up. Then picking up the phone isn't that big a deal. And you're right. When they're going to go into sales, they like talking to people, but they don't like doing it. They want to do it their way, you know.
Makes sense, right? And that's the part you have to, we talked about this in the very beginning, the first episode on authenticity, which is to see it from the buyer's perspective. You have to give them what they want and their journey and what they're looking for, not to fit your, you know, your pipeline, your statuses. Same thing with communication, right? I see a lot of salespeople and companies who, you know, try to say, well, this is our model. We do this, this, and this. And the, you know, the buyers better like this form of communication, but everyone wants to be met where they're at, not where you want to be at.
Here's where I got that lesson as a salesperson back in the 1990s. Had a person send me an email. This is when you could, when we were first starting to have emails go between companies. Originally it was inside companies. And he sends me an email, he's interested. So I call him back about four times from an email. Doesn't respond. Finally, I send him an email. Boom, right back. Call him three or four more times. I think I'll send him an email. Send him an email. Boom. And then I realized this guy doesn't want to talk to me. I closed a $30,000 transaction over email because it's how he wanted to communicate. What a great lesson for me to say, listen to that buyer. How do they want to communicate with you?
With the giant caveat and warning, at least from my perspective, which is don't then just try to do that with everybody because it's easier or what I see as scalable. It's like, oh, I just send out 1,000 emails a day and something's going to work, right? Because right. that's not going to work at scale. Might work with some of the people, but not all of them, right? And what I see sometimes as salespeople, what it works once, oh, I closed a deal over text, or I got this done via text. Like, I'll just do that from now on. It's like, no, that worked once. That doesn't mean that's it's right. going to work with the next human that you're interacting with. So many things to talk about with the future. It, you know, one of the things you mentioned about cold calling and moving away from that term and what people call cold calling, but what it's not, is unfortunately there's a lot of people out there just purely cold calling. Here is mm-hmm. a list of people who have a pulse and own a business or work at a company, and I'm just going to call them. I see on LinkedIn all the time where someone's like, yeah, lessons I learned from my million cold calls. And it's like, mm-hmm. why? Like, why are you having to do that as your main approach and making it so people literally want to stop answering their phone because of the cold calls, right?
Well, it's even further than that. You can't just call. If you're selling to a big company, you won't get through. There are companies now that are whitelisting. So it's just the opposite of black, where if your name's not on the list, you can't get to their extension. You can't leave a voicemail. Mm. And, it's even as simple as that. Or, and this is where it's changing, because I think with COVID, we all started to use our cell phones more and use them as our business lines. And we're going to, but there's still, you got old curmudgeons like me that if I get a cold call on my cell phone, and that's all I have either, you know, but it's like, no, this is my personal phone. You can't do that. Where, you know, 30 years ago, you called and you said to the receptionist, I want this title. And they'd put you through. Yeah. You didn't even have to have a name. But it was because there was no internet. So this is part of how we have to change as time goes on. And but just pure cold calling is extremely inefficient in the way that you just described it, to just work from a list. There are just better ways to use your time to warm them up first. And then, but always, always a phone call. It's just don't necessarily lead with it.
I love it. It's funny to think how people think the phone is dead, making calls is dead. But now and in the future, it's always going to be a part of it because this is relationships, it's a communication, it's value. If you're selling something that's not a transactional commodity that mm-hmm. can't just be bought online or is in a quick decision, then it's going to take a conversation because there's going to be some diagnosis that's going to happen and then a prescription of the solution. So that's always going to be there. I know as we finish this up here, talking about the future, and obviously there's a lot we could talk about. I know that you have a course program that you're launching, again, depending on when people find this. The link will be in the show notes. I know that's taking everything you've learned and helping the future of sales. So if anybody's watching or listening, please make sure to check that out. They can also connect with you, Greg, on LinkedIn, Greg Zippy. That link will be in the show notes, as well as the BYU sales program will be in there. Greg, thank you again for all of this, for what you're doing, like I mentioned before, but also all this that you gave the audience and to myself and all the notes that I took from my side. I truly appreciate this. And I'm glad you came out of retirement to keep giving back, because this has meant a lot to me.
Well, you're very kind. I love to talk sales with anybody. So anytime, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. And we'll probably have to do it again. What I'm finding is there's so much value from all the guests that I've had on this season, especially, that I'm probably gonna have to do some revisits, or maybe a big round table, get everyone together on one episode and just pull the pin on the conversation and let it just flow. Thank you again for being here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, being a part of this journey where we switch the way sales is done, way people look at sales, the way people act as salespeople. Hopefully, this has given you something. Remember, if you're here, if you're watching this or you're listening to it, something led you here. Hopefully, you got some nuggets, some value, something you can take with you to help you perform better, close more deals, make more money, and just leave people better than you found them through your path in sales. Thank you for being here. And as always, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.